Good morning, church. My name is Matt, and I'm one of the elders here at Jubilee Church, Shepparton. You know, I've been really enjoying this series that we've been going through right now, looking through the Psalms. I particularly enjoyed Stephen Morris's last week when he took us through some of those points about idolatry, and it's really challenged me and made me think a lot more about these things. And, you know, when I was given the task of looking at the Psalms, it occurred to me, how many of them do I actually know? Because, you know, the Psalms are very famous. You know, David wrote the Psalms. He wrote them at a time that various different things were happening in his life. There were times of joy. There were times of happiness. But there's also times of real anguish and sadness and frustration. And he would just speak to God and let them know exactly what was going on in his heart. So when I started to research them, and I was reading through them from chapter to chapter, I realised how many worship songs and hymns actually feature a psalm. Here's just some that I've noted. I lift my eyes to the heavens, to the hills. Where does my help come from? The Lord's my shepherd. May God arise, his enemies be scattered. And even this is the day. These all come from the psalms. And they're just wonderful the way they lend themselves to worship and music. Well, the reading I'm going to do this morning is from Psalm 46, and I'm going to be reading from verses 8 to 11, and I'm reading from the NIV. So this is what it says. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bows and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Now let's just spend a little bit of time unpacking those verses in the scripture. The first line says this, come and see what the Lord has done. What the psalmist is doing is inviting us to come and see what God has done. We can see his strength, we can see his might and his majesty in what God is doing. He's really keen for us to see that. Now, we don't know who particularly wrote this psalm. It could have been David, it could have been somebody else. But we get this sense that either it was the Israelites were in a time of war. If they weren't in a time of war, then there were certainly some battles that he was going through in his life, and the language lends itself to God being victory in battle. It says, he ends wars. He breaks bows. He shatters spears. He burns shields with fire. No war is too big for God. It feels to me that we're in a bit of a battle right now. You could argue, couldn't you, with with this coronavirus, the nation, in fact, the world, is on the front line. The NHS are the frontline troops going into battle on a daily basis. The carers in the old people's homes are going into battle daily as they fight this dreadful disease. And then we've got the people behind the scenes, the scientists and the government are supporting a big initiative to make a difference, to fight this war. You know, the strap line the government have been saying is stay at home, protect the NHS and save lives. And it reminds me of those old wartime posters that you get as fridge magnets now. Dig for victory, loose lips sink ships, keep calm and carry on. All of these things, this language is all about fighting the war. And we have our own one right now that the government is very keen for us to listen to. And then, of course, there's the local initiatives. Tim spoke earlier about the bags of food that we're doing here at this church. And also the Shepparton Community Support Group. They are also fighting the battle in their own way. They remind me of like the Home Guard, you know, that stayed back and were working behind the scenes to enable this war effort to happen. Or even the Land Girls and the work that they did supporting the war effort. But, you know, as we read through that scripture and we read how God is fighting the battle and he's winning and that David wants to celebrate this moment, we also hear how the narrative changes from third person to second person. The psalmist speaks the heart of the mind of God when he says this, be still and know that I am God. Another translation of be still is stop striving, stop fighting. Be still and listen. Pay attention. Stop rushing around and doing stuff. Be a Martha, not Mary. Sit at the feet of Jesus and listen because he's got something to say. God is trying to speak. The next line says this: I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. This isn't a suggestion, it's a fact. Whether people in society want to acknowledge it or not, the day will come when everybody will know that he is Lord. Every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's what the scripture tells us. And then the next line. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. David is expressing that God is now with us today, and that he is the fortress. Just picture in your mind the fortress. Picture the tall, high walls, the thick, heavy walls to protect those inside. Picture the ramparts, the sentries on duty on each corner. Picture all this weaponry that is available to them at any one given time to fight the common enemy. This is a place to protect those who are inside. The people that are outside the city wall, they are vulnerable. Those inside are protected. And this is what this scripture is telling us, that God is our fortress. When we are in God, we have his protection. It's an image that is about peace, where we feel safe against a real enemy. It's really interesting that the psalmist speaks about the God of Jacob, because he could have chosen Moses, he could have chosen Elijah, he could have chosen Daniel, but he specifically chose Jacob. Now, maybe he's referring to the time that Jacob wrestled with God and he went on to receive a rich blessing. Now, this particular wrestling that Jacob did with God is symbolic of the wrestle that we have with Jesus when we come to him, when we come born again. You see, we have a decision to make. We don't have to follow the Lord. We can go on doing our own ways, but we have that decision where we step out in faith. And as a result of that, we receive a blessing. And one of those blessings that God becomes our fortress, we're now under his protection. We're no longer out in the world on our own, just doing our own thing. So something special has happened. And I wonder if that's what the psalmist is referring to. So to summarize, the psalmist is saying, come and see God's mighty power. See how victorious he is in battle, how he wins the war. Be still and stop striving. Stop fighting. He fights the battle for you. God will be exalted always. God is with us today, now. He's with you at home right now as you watch this. And he is our fortress. Now, this particular scripture really spoke to me, which is why I decided to bring it. Because as I was reading it, I felt that the Lord was telling me. There was a voice that is inside my head, and it says this: in order for you to be a really good Christian, you must be very, very busy. You must fill your day up with lots of things, doing lots of stuff that you think is going to improve you before God. So that I can look in front of God and say, Father, look at all I've done, all I've achieved. Surely you can never take away your blessings from me. You can always support me. My marriage is going to, you know, it's going to stay stable, and my work is never going to dry up because I've got all this stuff that I'm doing on a day-to-day basis. Busy, busy, busy. In other words, it feels that God's favor is conditional to my personal spiritual acts. God will leave me if I'm not immersed in church stuff. If I take my foot off the throttle, it's all going to go pear-shaped. But it's not true. God is saying to me, I don't want you to rush around being busy, busy, busy. I want to have a relationship with you, because that's what God wants. He wants relationship. He wants my heart 100%. And that's not about doing things. That's about being still and knowing that he is God. Sometimes we all need to slow down, stop rushing from here, there. filling up our day with work. That is not how we get close to God. There's a scripture also that I'd like to read. It's in James chapter 4, verses 13 to 16. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go out to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes, and all such boasting is evil. If ever there was a time to really take that scripture to heart, I feel it's right now. It's where we're being forced to actually reconsider our daily lives and what we get up to and what our idols are. You see, some people actually, work becomes like an idol to them. Doing stuff becomes more important than actually having a relationship with God. I also love how this verse just connected nicely with Dave's sharing from Psalm 19, when he spoke to us about going out and appreciating the nature that's around us, God's world. You see, there's a link there about slowing down. You can't take that stuff in if you're rushing around all the time, if you're filling up your life with stuff. You actually need to stop and take note with what is around us, and then we can use those opportunities to connect with God. If you go for a walk or sit in the garden, be still. Listen, know that God is there. He's present now in your homes as you listen to this message. So, stop striving, stop fighting. Go to your room, close the door, and be with the Lord. That's what I need to do. I need to go to my room, close the door, read the word, immerse myself in what God is saying. I need to pray more. I need to put some worship music on so I'm connecting. And I need to ask for God's peace as well, because it's in those moments that my relationship will grow and that I'll get closer to God. This scripture doesn't mean we have to stop caring. It doesn't mean that you stop worrying about doing things. It means that we just have to get our priorities right. It's about having relationship and not about doing things. We all need to think about who is steering the ship. Is it us or is it God? Our hearts and minds need to be open. We need to stop striving. Are you prepared for God to be your fortress, or will you continue to fight and strive in your own strength, getting exhausted and worn out? Thanks for listening, but don't go away, as we will break bread together in a moment. Thank you.